How to have fun anytime, anywhere. Step one, go to ChumbaCasino.com.
ChumbaCasino.com. Got it.
Step two, collect your welcome bonus.
Come to Papa, welcome bonus.
Step three, play hundreds of casino-style games for free.
That's a lot of games, all for free.
Step four, unleash your excitement.
Woohoo!
Chumba Casino has been delivering thrills for over a decade. So claim your free welcome bonus now and live the Chumba life. Visit ChumbaCasino.com.
Terms and conditions apply. Leagues Cup returns to Columbus. Your reigning Leagues Cup champion Columbus Crew are hosting three matches at Lower.com Field. Come out and watch the Crew take on teams from Liga MX, Toluca, Puebla, and Leon starting July 29th. Grab your tickets now at ColumbusCrew.com and watch the best in North America battle to keep the trophy at home in Columbus. No ties, only wins. Major League Soccer versus Liga MX. Leagues Cup returns to Columbus, Ohio. Be there.
You don't have to listen to Sports Grid.
You can always go to a horse stable, find one with shoes, pry one off, and hang it over your door. Or you can get the winning edge
right here.
And you won't take a hoof to the head.
No!
This is Sports Grid Radio on Sirius XM.
The Sports Grid Radio Network.
Green, pro football full circle.
Gumbo formation. They were running at a big hole. Who needs a field goal?
Oh, we are off and running on today's edition of Pro Football Full Circle right here on the Sports Grid Radio Network, Sirius Channel 159. Joe Lisi, Scott Wetzel taking you around the league, getting you prepared for week number 13. Some news and notes to get to. Minnesota Vikings running back Dalvin Cook, he's out for 2 weeks with a dislocated shoulder. Minnesota 7-point favorites this weekend against winless Detroit. Deebo Samuel and Fred Warner out 2 weeks for the San Francisco 49ers. They play Seattle this week. They are 3.5-point favorites. No shock here, Scott. Christian McCaffrey done for the year on the IR. He's like a glass vase. I mean, the guy can't stay healthy, let alone for 2 weeks, let alone a full season. But the news and the notes around the league for me happened last night. I mean, if you watch that ball game in Washington, Washington stepped up. Taylor Heinicke led his team to a victory as a 2-point underdog over Seattle and Russell Wilson. Very close game, 17-15. But the news for me was, you look at that offense for Seattle. Russell Wilson struggled in the first half. DK Metcalf was not targeted for basically three quarters, one reception, 13 yards. What is going on with the Seahawks? They are dead and buried for 2021.
You know, it kind of reminds me of my days when I was covering the Jets with Keyshawn Johnson, you know, throw me the damn ball, book, you know, on the surface, it was kind of goofy and wrong to do. But in reality, it was like, well, what are you doing? You know, I mean, he's your best player in the case of Metcalf, right? I mean, hands down, why don't you get him the football? I don't care if it's a short little screen. I don't care if it's a 2 yard out. I don't care if it's on a wide receiver reverse. I mean, you got to get him involved in your offense, come hook or crook, right? Don't tell me that any team is capable of shutting down one guy without somebody else really kind of taking advantage of it. And, you know, Seattle wasn't throwing the football all over the place in the first half before they finally started to throw the ball to Metcalf's way. I don't know. You know, are these guys overrated, Joe? Is Russell Wilson really not that good? Is DK Metcalf and Lockett really not that good? Because they've scored 37 with that last touchdown, or 36. They scored 36 points in their last four games if you throw out the Jacksonville game. I mean, that's just, and that's with Russell Wilson as quarterback for the most part. I don't get that. I don't understand that at all. That's an awful loss. And isn't it funny? When everything was said and done, the Redskin potatoes not having an extra point / field goal kicker worked to their advantage. Because they have the field goal kicker, they kick the 1 point, they're up 7, and Seattle doesn't have to go for 2 when they score their touchdown. But because they had to go for 2, Seattle obviously had to go for 2 and in a wacky sort of way, that actually helped the Washington.
Yeah, although you're right in that scenario. But in the fourth down attempt to Logan Thomas, that went incomplete, so they would have kicked the field goal there. That's potentially true. Would have been up 11 points or even 10 at that matter. But you're absolutely right. And when I watched that game last night, it's not just not targeting DK Metcalf. He didn't even look his way. I mean, the whole game, Russell Wilson looking to Freddie Swain. He was looking at Tyler Lockett. He was forcing balls into double and triple coverage, not even looking in critical situations to DK Metcalf. And this goes deeper. Russell Wilson, he wanted everybody to revolve around him in terms of this offense. Let me take the lead. Well, they're giving him the reins to the offense, and he's not really taking this offense to the next level. He's not running the football, didn't tuck it and run until basically late in the fourth quarter. He did have around 16 rushing yards. He went over his prop about 15 and a half. But this offense was predicated on his ability to break, contain, improvise, not so much like Lamar Jackson, because he was more of a polished quarterback, right? He could keep his eyes down the field, extend plays, go, and in terms of challenge defenses over the top. Where's that been? You can't tell me that it's just a finger in terms of Russell Wilson, why he's not taking the next step with this offense and why they're not putting up points right now. He's regressed.
Yeah, we saw it late last year, Joe. There was a definite demarcation in the line in the sand. Whenever he decided not to be Superman, that's when Seattle lost, and that's when their offense struggled. And that's why, you know, I was doing in-game live last night with Dane, and I said, you watch, they're going to go 97 yards. And he's like, well, the offense hasn't done anything all game. I said, I know that. But now Russell Wilson's going to do all those extra things. He's going to become Superman. He's going to run around. He's going to scramble. He's going to make all the right reads and do all the things that are necessary that he doesn't want to do for the first 55 minutes of a football game. He's had it. He's done with that stuff. But when it came push down to shove, we put him in a corner. He's still capable of doing that. But I think he's just tired of it all. You know, the offensive line sucks. It has for the last couple of years. And, you know, unless he's Superman on these drives, they don't score. It's amazing.
Yeah, but, you know, I understand that he's tired of it, Scott, but at the end of the day, you are the franchise. I mean,
yes,
they're paying you a ton
well.
Of money.
Yeah.
Right, you're getting paid a ton of money to step up and not just stay in the pocket. I mean, if you go back, I don't know if you watch the game every single play, you were doing in-game live, but there was a critical second down. There was a running lane for about 25 yards that he could have took, and instead he waited until the defensive line pressure on him. He stayed in the pocket, didn't break contain, and threw basically an ill-advised pass that almost got intercepted. So for me, at the end of the day, you want to compete, you want to take your team to a playoff, and more importantly, a Super Bowl, and that's what it's all about. You're a $100 million man. You got to live up to expectations. When we come back, we'll talk about Arizona, not the team, their head coach Cliff Kingsbury possibly being mentioned for Oklahoma and Notre Dame.
SportsGrid.com. Betting insights and entertainment at your fingertips 24/7 as our team covers the most important topics in sports wagering. Real-time odds, predictive betting models, expert picks, and more. Want the edge? Then get on the grid. SportsGrid.com.
You're listening to Pro Football Full Circle with Joe Lisi and Scott Wetzel.
Back on Pro Football Full Circle, recapping last night's game between Seattle and Washington. Going to turn our attention to week number 13, Arizona on the road in Soldier Field to take on the Chicago Bears. Cardinals, 7.5-point favorites on FanDuel, -115. If you want to take a shot on Matt Nagy and the Bears with a couple extra days of preparation with that win over Detroit on Thanksgiving, they're -105. Total set at 45.5. Scott, -110 either way. News and the news of the day around Arizona, though, isn't just this game this coming Sunday against the Chicago Bears. It surrounds their head coach, Cliff Kingsbury. We heard about the news in Oklahoma with Lincoln Riley moving on to take the job for the USC Trojans, and there's been some rumblings now that Kingsbury would be potentially a fit at Oklahoma, but then the news broke late last night that Brian Kelly was leaving Notre Dame to coach the LSU team. Tigers to take over for Ed Orgeron, and now supposedly Notre Dame is lobbying very hard to get Cliff Kingsbury in South Bend, the same Cliff Kingsbury that was sub 500 in the Big 12 with a quarterback named Patrick Mahomes for the Red Raiders in Lubbock, now potentially could be coaching Notre Dame next year.
Yeah, go figure, right? Why would they be interested? I don't know. But I will tell you this, having lived in Chicago or one of the suburbs, Joe, Notre Dame has three homes. They got South Bend, they have New York, and they have Chicago. Chicago is a Notre Dame town, and I bring it up because that's where they're playing this weekend, as you pointed out. And the media pressure and intensity on these rumors this week on Arizona, man, I love the Bears from a betting standpoint.
Do you?
Absolutely. They could be playing, the Bears could be, the Detroit Lions, and I would like Arizona anyway, but throw it in the fact that it's in Chicago, and you have now 50 zillion media members as opposed to the four or five maybe in Arizona, and they're all asking the same thing about Notre Dame. Oh, yeah. There's no way. He's not that good. I don't know why he would leave. He's got the perfect spot, right? He's got a young quarterback. He's got an owner that's willing to spend money. He's got a GM that, when he's on the right side of things, it makes nice trades and is trying to really help the team and really show that they do want to win. There's so few franchises that really, really want to win. Rams come out to my, and Arizona's one of them, and I don't know why you'd want to leave that, except maybe if Notre Dame's willing to, throw $10 million a year at him. But I don't know if these contracts, as we talked in between breaks, I know these college contracts allow head coaches to leave, but are there that many open windows in NFL head coaching contracts? Or are they just counting on Cliffbury going to the owner and saying, I want out, and the owner acquiescing and saying, okay, go ahead, leave if you want to then?
Well, he would have to leave like now. I mean, let's be honest, because, if you're Notre Dame and you're trying to get Cliff Kingsbury, they're first place in the NFC West. Potentially, they are a Super Bowl contender, right? Let's just say that worst scenario, they're going to go to the second round of the playoffs. You're going to wait if you're Notre Dame till Cliff is done? And then you're behind recruiting and everything else? No way. And that's the thing that makes no sense to me. Now, Mike Blewett, who's on this network, and we've done shows with Mike, says there's absolutely no shot that Kingsbury goes. He's just trying to lobby for a new contract because Schefter's in on it. He knows his agent. He's got 1 year left. I tell you what, I'm not so sure, because if you're asking me if you could stay, let's say, 5 to 7 years at Notre Dame, and once you get that train rolling, it just basically drives itself. Look at Nick Saban in Alabama, right? You win a couple of national championships, you have a couple of 10-win seasons, every kid wants to play for you. It's a little bit different on the NFL level. You got to deal with personalities, you got to deal with contracts, you got to deal with the union. So maybe he does want to bolt, but I just find it ironic. Like right here, right now, when this team seems to be hitting on all cylinders.
Yeah, they can't wait. You're right about that. Because if they were going to wait, then they might as well wait for Luke Fickell to get done his Cincinnati Bearcats run if they end up getting into the Final Four, which obviously Notre Dame apparently thinks. Because I thought that would be the way they would go. I thought they would go there for the job. But didn't realize he's only got one more year left on his contract. Oh, these agents, boy, these guys are good. These guys are good. The amount of contract extensions these guys get on deals that aren't even close to being done is just amazing. And in the NFL, if he's got one year left, then you got to believe the agent is throwing this stuff out there. If I'm Arizona, I'm calling up Notre Dame and saying, are you really interested in our guy? Do you really want him? If you want him, okay, we'll let him go. I need to know, though. And then, Notre Dame say, who? Cliff who? Why?
What does that say, though? Well, what does that say? I am curious about the locker room for Arizona, because obviously you're professionals. A lot of these guys played at major college Power 5 programs. At the end of the day, they've seen coaches jump at the college level. At the NFL level, the last thing you want to know is you want to go to work, especially when your team is cooking right now. Tops of the NFC West, you saw Seattle lose to Washington. You see the Rams get beat up by Green Bay. You're like, okay, San Francisco hasn't bounced back to form. We got a shot to win a title here. The last thing you want to see is your 30-something-year-old head coach talk about potentially not wanting to take the job at Oklahoma or Notre Dame. Like, when is enough for this team to say, you know what, Cliff, either you're in or you're out now. Enough of trying to get an extension. We have our eye on the prize. We want to win it all.
Listen, I'm stubborn with this stuff, Joe. My post comes out of me. I wouldn't let him go. I wouldn't let Kelly leave Notre Dame. I wouldn't let Lincoln Riley leave Oklahoma. I wouldn't let Kingsbury leave Arizona. You want to leave? I got a contract. It says you're my head coach. You know what? And if you want to tank it for the remaining year in the case of Arizona, you want to tank it at Kingsbury that last year, your contract, and this year? All right, you go ahead and tank it. Then go see what kind of job you get. Brian Kelly, you want to tank it the next couple of years that under your contract with Notre Dame? Go ahead. Then go find a job after that. Same thing with Lee. I wouldn't let them go. I would not let them go if I have you under contract. Just wouldn't do it.
Yeah, we'll see what happens. I mean, total is 45.5. I lean to the over in this ball game. I know Chicago only put up 16 points with old man Dalton against Detroit's defense, but you got to think that Arizona going to look to put the pressure on Chicago, right? Still a methodical offense. 45.5 is not a big number, even though there might be cold weather in Soldier Field. I lean to the over in this ball game, Scotty.
Yeah, that figures because I lead to the under. I love the under. I'm counting on the weather being bad. And when I say bad, I mean cold. And I think that's a little overblown warm weather team going into cold site like Arizona. But I'm still going to throw that out there as a reason why I like the Bears. The Bears' offense is atrocious and their defense is good. It really is the perfect storm. And 45.5 points under normal circumstances is not a lot. But this year we've had way more unders than overs. 45.5 now. It's taken about 12 weeks, Joe. We're in week number 13, but now I'm looking at these mid-45s and 46s, and I'm saying, boy, that's a lot of points. That's a big – how are they going to get – is Chicago scoring 20 points against Arizona's defense? I don't think so. And I don't think Arizona's putting up 30 against Chicago, so – that to me has got like 23-10, you know,
really?
2017.
You think so?
Yeah,
okay.
Absolutely.
All right.
Absolutely.
Yeah, I mean, I think the way Detroit attacked that secondary over the top of those wide receivers, I mean, we saw basically Josh Reynolds break out thinking he was playing for Texas A&M when he caught the touchdown pass from Goff. If he got open, There's no doubt that those Arizona wide receivers can get open in this matchup. A bigger question, Scott, Arizona right now on FanDuel, 8-1 to win the Super Bowl. That's not bad When you consider that, you know, Tampa Bay, plus 550, 5.5-1, followed by Kansas City, 7-1, Green Bay after their win over the Rams, 7.5-1, Buffalo, 8-1. Buffalo does face New England this coming Monday night. So, I mean, it's right there for the taking. They are jockeying for position right now. Would you pull the trigger at 8-1 on the Cardinals?
Nah, I can't. I don't think Cliff Kingsbury is winning a Super Bowl. No way. No, you're not getting great money on them. Buffalo at 8-1, you know, that's higher than what it was at the start of the year. That's where I would say, like, okay, that's not too bad. Even the Rams, now they're having their worst play. Now you buy in on the Rams at 12-1. But now I can't buy in Arizona.
We shall see. When we come back, we'll dive into the Bucks and Falcons coming up next. Keep it where it is, Joe Lisi and Scott Wetzel.
SportsGrid.com. Betting insights and entertainment at your fingertips 24/7 as our team covers the most important topics in sports wagering. Real-time odds, predictive betting models, expert picks, and more. Want the edge? Then get on the grid. SportsGrid.com.
You're listening to Pro Football Full Circle with Joe Lisi and Scott Wetzel.
Ripping through the action for week number 13. Left off with Arizona and Chicago. Talked about Cliff Kingsbury. Going to talk about touchdown Tom Brady, Leonard Fournette, Rob Gronkowski. 7-point winners last week as a 3-point favorite on the road in Indianapolis. They now take on the Atlanta Falcons, who do get the victory last Sunday against Jacksonville. They were a 2-point favorite, pulled it out 21-14. Scott, old man Cordarrelle Patterson with another 100-yard performance on the ground. It's amazing that this guy is as old as dirt, and yet he still produces. It really is. It's amazing that they can get a journeyman running back slash kickoff returner wide receiver and make him productive, and yet some of these draft picks never pan out in terms of the NFL. It really is interesting. But that being said, Atlanta is a 10.5-point underdog on FanDuel right now at home. to Tom Brady and the crew. Tampa Bay minus 115, Atlanta minus 105, total set 50.5 at minus 110. I got to be honest with you. Last performance against New England on that Thursday night, they got abused. They looked terrible. Playing against Tom Brady and the Bucs, though, I'm inclined to take the 10.5 at home, back-to-back road games for the Buccaneers. That could hurt them in this matchup. They might win, but I don't know if they cover.
That is a lot of points to be laying on the road, right? I mean, you lay over a touchdown, and it's over a touchdown. This is over 10. It's kind of tough to do, but... You know, you get this Bucs team. We saw this the same time basically last year, Joe. You know, they were actually struggling. People forget about that. They had lost a bunch of games. They didn't play well. And then their schedule eased up to close out the regular season. And then it obviously took off from there. And they really played their best football in the postseason. The same thing could be happening now. I wouldn't worry about that back-to-back stuff. I will just tell you, I've given these numbers before. Teams in the second game of back-to-back road games, 23-21 straight up, which is pretty good, you know, all things considered. That's the road team. 27-17 against the spread. So they have dominated for whatever reason. You know, maybe you know you get a less of a number, although I don't know how big would it be if this was the first game, right? It couldn't be much more than 10.5. I can't bet against Tampa Bay. More important, I can't bet on Atlanta. I did like them last week. They're one of my picks. Jacksonville, but this is a huge step up in class. Tampa right. Bay's beating the crap out of them the last couple of years with Brady there. I don't think any of the games have been close at all, so I'm guessing the same thing's going to happen here.
Well, the first game I was on Tampa Bay, I think they lead like 13.5, 14.5. I think it could have been over 14. I don't remember exactly, but that game was basically 24-21 in like the third quarter. And then Tampa Bay went on a heater where they scored like three straight touchdowns and they blew them out of the water. Now, at that particular time, Atlanta didn't really get into form. And when I say form, they didn't go on their mini win streak until after that. You know, that was the one game where Arthur Smith and that offense broke out and challenged that defense over the top. Patterson's had an integral part of that rushing attack. At that particular time, it was Mike Davis. I don't know. 10.5. I mean, the problem is going to be Atlanta's offensive line, right? We saw them struggle with New England. With Devin White in that front seven, JPP, I mean, they're going to shut down the run. We know that. Can Matt Ryan have enough time to at least attack that secondary? And that really is the weakness of Tampa Bay, right? It is still the secondary. We saw Carson Wentz have success. Jonathan Taylor only rushed for 87 yards last week. So they did move the football through the air. Can Matt Ryan attack them enough to cover the number and, more importantly, get you the over? I still like the 50.5. I think they breeze right through that. I can't see this being a lopsided, you know, Tampa Bay victory 38-7 and it goes under. I just don't see that happening in this ball game.
Well, I mean, I could see if Tampa Bay puts 40 on the board, then it would go over. But you're right. I mean, I don't see it necessarily being an under, unless they just shut down Atlanta. Cordarrelle Patterson does make the difference with them. Without him in the lineup, they're nothing, especially without Calvin Ridley. It'd be nice if Ridley would get back. I mean, the Falcons are in the thick of things here for one of those playoff spots, but it doesn't look like he's coming back anytime soon. So, well, Tampa Bay is good for 30, right? I mean, you would think this past week was the first time they put 30 on the board on the road, but they're putting 30 points. Is Atlanta going to score 20 plus? When everything is said and done, I don't think they will. And the one thing about Tampa Bay is we've talked about, they don't take the foot off the pedal, Joe. You know, a lot of times laying a 10.5, I'll say a team's got to be up by 17 or more then, realistically. And what are the chances of that happening? Because they'll give up the oh-by-the-way touchdown. But, you know, with Tampa Bay games, they'll be up 10, and they'll be going for another touchdown. They don't give up the oh-by-the-way. They score another one. So that's the one team I don't have any qualms with about laying double digits. So don't like doing it, but I would go with Tampa Bay.
Yeah, we'll see. I mean, they're starting to get their killer instinct. I'll just say this about the total is that the Giants did score 10 on Tampa Bay a couple of weeks ago, and as pathetic as that offense was with Jason Garrett, you got to think Arthur Smith maybe 17, maybe 20, and then touchdown Tom gets us 34. You got the over. We'll see how that game plays out. It is a 1 o'clock kick. No Dalvin Cook for 2 weeks. I don't think it matters whether Dalvin Cook is in there or not. I mean, they have not utilized him up until his ability. And what I mean by that is the short to intermediate passing game, the screen game, totally non-existent with this offense. Madison will take over, but Minnesota had an opportunity to win three straight. They were in that ball game. Kirk Cousins could not close the door. Defense gave up some yards. Now they're 7-point favorites on the road to Detroit, minus 110 either way. 46.5 is the total. Juice is the over at minus 115. I can't back Detroit here. I backed them on Thanksgiving, and I got a cover by a hair. Scott, I still don't know how I got that cover. At the end of the day, if you're Minnesota, you have to put this team away. Put them away. I mean, if you lose this ball game, or this is down to the fourth quarter, you really, I mean, again, I said it before, fire Zimmer, get his ass out of town, and maybe cut the fat and move on, and maybe this team can make a playoff run.
Well, don't forget, first game they played, they had them. They had them dead to right. This is going to be one of those games that if the Lions go winless, they're going to look back at. You know, they had a lead. There was 26 or so seconds left. They had just scored to take the lead, and they let Minnesota come right down the field and kick the game-winning field goal with literally less than 30 seconds left. So now you would think that would, you know, rally Detroit, but how many times are they going to put good efforts back to back? You know, the boys in Vegas, they're laying 7. That's a big number. You know, if this was played 2 weeks ago, that would be like 3.5. I mean, you know, don't forget, Cincinnati was basically pick 'em at Detroit. You know, Detroit at home has been given against Philadelphia is basically pick 'em, right? I mean, so now they're laying 7. That tells me that the boys in Vegas have given up on the Lions, and they think the Lions have given up on the season. And maybe they have, because that line, like I said, 2-3 weeks ago, they wouldn't have been that big of a favorite. They just wouldn't have.
Well, think about the run that they had over the last three games, right? They tie Pittsburgh. They cover that line 5.5. It was perfectly ripe for the upset, right? Ben Roethlisberger not in that lineup. It was Mason Rudolph. Yeah, it's a wet field. It's tied. You had multiple opportunities to get the W. You don't get it. Okay, no big deal. You go on the road with Tim Boyle. With Tim Boyle, your defense keeps you in it, right? Because of the pathetic play of Baker Mayfield. You lose that ball game by 3, 13-10. Then what happens on Thanksgiving Day? You're an underdog. You start fast. The touchdown to Josh Reynolds. You're like, okay, we got a 7-0 lead. Then here comes Andy Dalton. They dominate for the second and third quarter. And then all of a sudden you come alive. You have a 14-13 lead heading into the last 5 minutes or 8 minutes of the ball game. And because of a delay, a game penalty, you lose that game by 2 points. How much more can you sustain if you're the Detroit Lions? Right now, it's like the dam is holding up, the dam is holding up, and now all of a sudden, the water's just going to come flooding through because you're emotionally just drawn and just drained at that point that now you're catching 7. They probably lose by 30 in this ballgame.
Yeah, they're due for a clunker. I mean, close game Bears, close game Browns, a tie, obviously close game Pittsburgh. That's 3 straight. The chances of them playing 4 straight competitive games. And to the point, Bears, they were only 2.5-point dog. Pittsburgh on the road, only a 6-point dog. Philadelphia at home, 3-point dog. Bengals at home, 3.5-point dog. Bears on the road, 3-point dog. Ravens at home earlier on the season, 7-point dog. And now all of a sudden it's up to 7 against a mediocre Vikings team. Like I said, the boys in Vegas think that dam is going to break this weekend.
Yeah, I'll tell you this. The Vikings, I thought, were definitely a 10-11-win football team. Now they're fighting for their life. Plus 100 on FanDuel to make the playoffs. You pulling that? I am. They have way too much talent. I mean, at the end of the day, there's got to be a point that Zimmer sits down the team and says, either we want to make the playoffs or not. And if we're going to make the playoffs without Dalvin Cook now, we need to score points. Open it up, get the football to Jefferson, throw the football 45 to 50 times a game. Madison can run when we have a lead. At the end of the day, could we just throw away the running game? His, I want to say, commitment to the run on each and every game is absolutely ridiculous when you have a quarterback making $86 million over 4 years, 3 years.
Yeah, well, and then, but your quarterback sucks. I mean, when are they going to realize that? You know, I mean, they throw money at these guys, and they're just, they're not any good. They're just not. Jared Goff sucks. Matthew Stafford stinks. Kirk Cousins stink. I don't care how much buildup you want to put into these guys. They're not winning quarterbacks. They'll give you great stats certain games, but they're not winning championships. They just aren't. And it's there for the Vikes. You know, they got the Lions on the schedule, obviously, this week. They got the Bears twice. They got a bad Pittsburgh team on the schedule. So it's not a bad little schedule to make a run, even money to make them, you know, get the postseason. An 8 or 9 win team definitely is making the playoffs in the NFC. So why not Minnesota? Yes. By the way, Lions 8-1 under.
All right. When we come back, we'll talk about our Miami Dolphins hitting on all cylinders. They play the Giants coming up next.
SportsGrid.com. Betting insights and entertainment at your fingertips 24-7 as our team covers the most important topics in sports wagering. Real-time odds, predictive betting models, expert picks, and more. Want the edge? Then get on the grid. SportsGrid.com.
You're listening to Pro Football Full Circle with Joe Lisi and Scott Wetzel.
Some breaking news out of Jacksonville. Urban Meyer has come out, Scott, and said that he remains committed to rebuilding the Jacksonville Jaguars this year. He has no reason to leave and bolt for a college job. He's been mentioned for possibly the Notre Dame job. So you know what that means. Probably tomorrow we'll be reporting that Urban Meyer is the new head coach of the Notre Dame Fighting Irish. You know how that goes.
Yeah, it is amazing. He's not even a year into the program, right? And he's had to fight off rumors about USC and LSU, now Notre Dame. You know, he's not going here. He's not going there. He's not even a year in, for goodness sakes, and he's already talking about leaving.
Unbelievable.
And he could shut it down, Joe. These coaches, they could shut it down. And even Kingsbury yesterday, when asked about the rumors, he said, well, you know, I'm not really into addressing that right now. Well, what does that mean? You know, I get it, but all you have to do is just say, no, I'm not interested. I'm here in Arizona. Right. I got a great quarterback, got great owners, great GM. I'm not going anywhere. Stop it already. Right. And that's all, you know, Urban Meyer has to do. You know, he doesn't have to, like, well, I'm not interested at this point. I'm committed to Jackson. Just say, come on. Are you kidding me?
Right.
I'm in first year of a 5-year deal. Yeah, don't even ask me that stupid stuff.
How about you help Trevor Lawrence, you know, because he's absolutely terrible.
He sucks.
Right. I'll tell you that. But yeah. I'll give you kudos, partner, because 4 weeks ago, you came on this show, and we're here for a couple days a week, and you said, you know what? I'm telling everybody now, we're Dolphin fans, but I'm looking at this objectively at 36-1 on FanDuel to make the playoffs. Put it on the wood. The Dolphins are going to be a playoff contender, and I thought you were absolutely crazy like you normally are. But I will give you props. They're on a 4-game heater right now, Scott, playing as good as anybody. Get another victory over Cam Newton and the Carolina Panthers as a 2-point underdog. They win that ballgame 33-10. We had a Jalen Waddle sighting. A touchdown, yeah. He's over 100 yards. It's amazing what happens when you throw the football to Jalen Waddle. But you got to be honest, now 1180, the Miami Dolphins are down almost 24-20 on that price of 36-1. Scott, great call. And I'm buying in now. Now you got me hooked. I'm thinking our fish are a legit contender, so you know what that means, right? You got to go against them with the – now they're 3-point favorites over the Joe Judge, New York Giants, and Freddie Kitchens, that juggernaut that put up 13 points against Jalen Hurts and Philadelphia. I can only look Miami here. I'm not sold on the Giants' identity. They're playing at home. This defense is hungry. They're back to what they were doing last year, forcing turnovers. They're good against the run. Dolphins in a rout in South Beach this Sunday.
Yeah. I don't know about a route, but, and I was disappointed, and I wasn't, when the Dolphins were made a 1.5-point home dog last week to jet to Carolina. It's like,
why is Carolina done?
Yeah, I was like, why is that? But then I said, that's okay. Let people keep on doubting the Dolphins, or not even doubting, just don't even take them seriously. They stink. So I was hoping that the Giants would be favored. I didn't expect it this week, but I was thinking maybe pick them. But the schedule for Miami, and this was the premise of the whole thing about them making a run, Joe, it's gotten probably easier than what it was when I looked at it 3 weeks ago. They got the Giants this week at home. They got the bye. Then they got the Jets at home after that. There's really no reason why they can't win both those games. Now you're 7-7. Then you play a no-nothing New Orleans Saints team, which I thought a few weeks ago was going to be good, but they clearly are not. They're shot. You don't have to necessarily worry about that game. And that's a four-letter network Monday night game. And then they got Tennessee on the road, which will be tough. And then New England. But, if the Dolphins do as planned and head into that Tennessee game at 8-7, well, then now you got a shot. And, the Patriots are playing great, but don't forget the Dolphins already beat the Patriots one time. So they may have to, unfortunately, run the table because they're not getting any favors done by these other teams. The Raiders winning the other day against Dallas on Thanksgiving, that didn't help their cause any. Denver winning didn't help their cause any. We got to get rid of some of these 5-win football teams, and actually they're hanging tough as well. So they may realistically have to go 10-7, but the schedule's there. And the bigger question would be, what do you then do with Tua? But even at 11-1, I still like their case because of that schedule. So
I do.
It's not that bad. It's not that bad at 11.5-1.
And let's not forget, they get New England later in the year in their house. They beat them week number one when Mac Jones was making his first career start. They have that tiebreaker under their belt already. If they can knock off the New England Patriots, depending upon what New England does this coming week against Buffalo, I actually think Buffalo railroads them in that matchup. We'll get into that in a little bit. But the Dolphins here at home, if they were on the road, obviously, even though they got the victory over the Jets a couple weeks ago, it's a lot colder now. It's a different scenario. But I think the heat will wear down the New York Giants. And when you look at this offense, okay, you fired Jason Garrett. Okay, that's great. But Daniel Jones still only 200 yards in the ballgame. Yeah. Saquon Barkley, 30 yards or 30. What did he have, 42 yards, 32 yards? He had 42 yards. He had a 32-yard run. So on 12 carries, he had 8 yards in that matchup against Philadelphia. That's not going to get it done. The Dolphins are very good in terms of putting teams into predictable long third downs. And if they do that against Daniel Jones and that suspect offensive line, they're going to eat in this ballgame. They're going to get to Danny Dimes. They're going to force turnovers. He's definitely good for at least 2 turnovers in this ballgame. I mean, would you agree with that?
Yeah, you would think for sure. And as I said, heading into last week's game, if the Dolphins can stop Lamar Jackson, boy, what are they going to do with Cam Newton? And they did. So, and I'll say the same thing. If they can stop Lamar and you can stop Cam, what are they going to do with, Mr. Turnover himself, Daniel Jones? The only thing that's going to be disappointing from a Dolphins standpoint is half the people in that stadium are going to be Giant fans. There's a lot of New Yorkers down in Miami, as there are when they play here in New Jersey. A lot of Dolphin fans when they take on either the Giants or the Jets. But that's going to be a little demoralizing. But that said, I do like the Dolphins even laying the 3. The Giants stink. I mean, they fire the offensive coordinator, Joe, as you said. And what inspires them? What, they score 13 points, and win 13-7. That was their big rallying cry. Win one for the Gipper. Our guy got fired. We're going to respond with 13 lousy points.
I know. Here's the other thing, too. They're a complete money burn, the New York Giants, if you take their overs. I love taking overs, but every over I take outside the New Orleans game, which was basically I hung on by a thread because they trailed that matchup in the fourth quarter 21-10. And that total was basically 43.5 when they kicked the field goal at 21 to go to overtime. That's how you got the over in that ballgame. But 41.5. I mean, it's so enticing, Scott, to jump on this over. But Joe Judge, Freddie Kitchens, it's like, let's try and win this 13-10. God forbid we have to put up 20 points with our – which is so frustrating because I have to be honest. If you go back to that road game earlier in the year with Garrett at the helm And they went toe-to-toe with Taylor Heinicke, where they lost that matchup 30-29. And you have playmakers running all over the field. Danny Dimes was in a rhythm. If you're Joe Judge, why are you afraid of going all out like that? I don't understand why they're afraid to open up the offense and let this kid play. And I'm not saying I'm a big backer of Daniel Jones in any capacity, but why you want to contain this offense? You're paying Saquon a ton of money. You're paying Kenny Golladay a ton of money not to catch three passes for 36 yards. Evan Ingram, 37 yards in the first half, non-existent in the second half. What are they doing going forward?
Yeah, I've always said that about these TV networks. They don't show you. Like DK Metcalf last night, right? Same thing. You know, he has no targets his way. Not even an attempt his way through 2.5, almost 3 full quarters before they finally tried to get him involved. I wish the networks would show these wide receivers and show, is he open? Is he not open? Is he not even trying if the ball's not supposed to go his way? You know, you got these big-time supposed players on these teams, and they're not being involved in their offense. Why? I don't understand that. You're right. I mean, listen, the Giants aren't Super Bowl champs, but they got some pretty good wide receivers. They got some pretty good tight ends. You know, I counted it last week. We talked about it. It's either 7 or 8. I forget what the number was. First-round draft choices on offense. 7 or 8 out of 11 guys. They have some good players that they should be putting up more points. They've gotten 5 straight unders, Joe. They've scored more than 20 points once in 4 weeks and only 4 times all season. I mean, holy crow, 13, 10, 17, 11, 20, 14, 13. They just don't score. It's either the coaches, the receivers, or ultimately it falls back to me on the quarterback who I didn't think is any good.
No, I agree with you, but I think it's Joe Judge. I think he's just a conservative guy. I mean, that's okay.
Well, he's a special teams coach. He's a special teams coach, right? I mean, he doesn't have any history of even being in charge of an offense, let alone dictating whether we're going to be an offensive type of club or a defense. He was special teams coach with the Patriots.
I know. That's the most frustrating thing. I agree with you because they're a complete money burn. You say, okay, I'm getting good value, 41.5. Basically, that's 21-20. You're right in shot for the over, right? 22-20, you get the over. You would think in today's NFL where 8 out of 10 penalties occur down the field over 20 yards. It doesn't matter whether the guy catches it. Doesn't even matter whether the ball's 10 yards close to the receiver. 8 times out of 10, the referee is throwing a pass interference call. So why not just attempt it? That's what I don't understand. And that could open up the running lane. You want to be a running team later in the game? That's fine. But at least be aggressive on first and second down. It's like, no, we got to go 2-yard hitch, a 5-yard slant, and we got to take 17 plays to go 60 yards and take 9 minutes off the clock because we need to win this ball game 14-10. I just don't buy it. And that falls on Joe Judge solely. So we'll see how that game plays out. I like Miami. Total, I'm probably going to wait till the first quarter and maybe jump on the over. We'll see how that goes. Probably be a dead under in that ball game. But let's turn our attention to Joe Burrow and the Cincinnati Bengals because this team, to me, is hitting on all cylinders now. They've put 2 games back-to-back against the Raiders and now the Steelers. They've bounced back into form. On the flip side, Justin Herbert and that offense inconsistent, throwing balls into double coverage against Denver. They're 3-point road dogs, the Chargers are, in Ohio. -105 on FanDuel, Scott. 50 and a hook. Juice to the under at -112. Probably be cold in Cincinnati this weekend. I can only look to Cincinnati here. I mean, you're supposed to bet the Chargers every other week, and this would be a bounce-back spot, but I have no confidence in terms of this team, in terms of consistency, offensively and defensively.
Yeah, they are weird, right? You think you got a read on them, and then they lose a game like the last week to Denver. They beat the snot. Well, they win against Pittsburgh. Shouldn't say they beat the snot out, but they put 41 points on the board against Pittsburgh, and they can't do anything more than 13 against Denver. They win games at on the road, and they lose games at home. You know, go figure. They win at Washington, lose against Dallas at home. Win at Kansas City, lose at home against New England. You know, win at Philadelphia, lose at home against Minnesota. It is just a weird team. So If you can figure them out, you're a better man than I am. I'll hop on the Bungles. You want to give me a Cincinnati laying only 3? This, to me, is a complete reputation line. Boys in Vegas love Justin Herbert. Boy, do they just love this Charger team, and they're getting undeserving love. Meanwhile, I got the bet. Just like last night, Joe, I got the better team, the team that's playing better football, and I got the team at home, and I'm laying only 3. You know, last night you were getting a point with Washington. But you know what? Give me Cincinnati in that spot.
Yeah, we saw Baltimore take care of business on Sunday night against Cleveland. Cincinnati plus 230 to win the AFC North, right behind the Baltimore Ravens at minus 200. When we come back, we'll wrap it up.
SportsGrid.com. Betting insights and entertainment at your fingertips 24/7 as our team covers the most important topics in sports wagering. Real-time odds, predictive betting models, expert picks, and more. Want the edge? Then get on the grid. SportsGrid.com.
You're listening to Pro Football Full Circle with Joe Lisi and Scott Wetzel.
Wrapping up today's show, we always go through the week matchups. We also look at a great Week 13 specials on FanDuel, and Scott needs the big money. Scott's not about chalks. He's not about, you know, plus 150. He needs something with a little bite in it. And FanDuel has done a fantastic job, Scott, with two bets for Week 13. Devontae Smith, Elijah Moore, each to have 70-plus receiving yards, Jets and Eagles, plus 600, or Leonard Fournette to have 1-plus receiving and rushing touchdown, plus 800 at 8-1. Which one strikes your fancy?
I would go with Smith and Moore. I've seen Tampa Bay with Fournette and all their guys. You know, it's kind of like, it's like the New England Patriots. You know, they'd pick one guy when Brady was there and he'd have a spectacular game. You'd get him on your fantasy team and then they would ignore him the next week. So I'm guessing Fournette's going to get ignored after having a monster game last week. So I'll go with the Dolphins with the Smith and Moore with the Jets. I think 70 yards, it's not even 100 yards. So if those two guys can't get 70-plus yards apiece, at 6-1, that's pretty darn good. Smith is emerging, you know, without Devontae Parker. You know, they want to go to him. I'm not really worried about him. Moore would be the one, but I'll take my chances at 6-1 that Moore gets the 70-plus. But I think Smith is absolutely going to get 70.
You do, huh? All right. Yeah. See, the concern I have is, what did Zach Wilson have last week, 145 through the air?
Yeah. Right.
So if he has, a similar performance, and that was against Houston, and I'm not saying Philly's defense is good, but you got to say they're slightly better than Houston. So let's say if he duplicates that production, is Elijah Moore going to get half those yards for Zach Wilson? That's the only concern I have for the New York Jets. We'll see. We'll see. We're just getting into it. We're going to be here all week. Tomorrow, Scott and I will get into those Week 13 battles at 4 o'clock. For Scott Wetzel, Andrew Torres, I'm Joe Lisi. Have a great day, everyone.
Bubba Wallace here from 2311 Racing. Funny thing about being fast, you end up waiting a lot. First to show up, first in line, then just waiting. Me, I rev up Chumba Casino. With over 200 social casino games, no slow lanes here. Why sit around when you can spin?
Start your engine.
I'm already racing. Your turn. Play for free at ChumbaCasino.com. That's Chumba.
Sponsored by Chumba Casino. No purchase necessary. VGW Group. Void where prohibited by law. 21 plus. Terms and conditions apply.
League's Cup returns to Columbus. Your reigning League's Cup champion Columbus Crew are hosting 3 matches at Lower.com Field. Come out and watch the Crew take on teams from Liga MX, Toluca, Puebla, and Leon starting July 29th. Grab your tickets now at ColumbusCrew.com and watch the best in North America battle to keep the trophy at home in Columbus. No ties, only wins. Major League Soccer versus Liga MX. League's Cup returns to Columbus, Ohio. Be there.